I felt that God gave me this title early on in the week, simply that Thanksgiving's not over. Thanksgiving is not over. And as I began to check out Dr. Strong in this regard, I found some 48 New Testament references to Thanksgiving, giving thanks, Thanksgiving, and so 48 expressions of giving thanks in one form or another. It starts with Matthew and it ends with Revelation. Just some of the they're all outstanding, but Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gave thanks, and you'll find that very, very much in the Gospels. In Acts, we find it. Romans 16:4. I'm just abbreviating these precious verses. Paul said, I give thanks. That sums it up, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always. Always, not just once a year, but always for all things. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. 2 Thessalonians, these are just a few of the references. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for we are bound to give thanks always to God. Now, that's a very forthright expression. We are bound always to give thanks, always to God. And then I'll just go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 17. We give thanks, O Lord. Isn't that a beautiful, simple expression? We give thanks. And I want to say this morning as pastor of this church, and I know you say it with me, we give thanks, O Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. I was just overwhelmed last Sunday, and I sensed that same presence of God in the room today. And God wants us to know that Thanksgiving is not over. Thanksgiving is not one day of a year or some special type of thing. But Thanksgiving is not over. Without Bible faith-based Christians, there would be no excuse for Thanksgiving. This is not just another holiday. This is not just an excuse to eat turkey. Without Bible-based faith-believing Christians, there would be no Christmas. You know, Christmas, we've almost made a carnival out of it. And you buy presents for people you don't like, and they don't appreciate them when you give them, and the kids enjoy the boxes more than the toys. You know, now listen to me. I'm a pastor, and God helps me to say some things. Don't put yourself hopelessly in debt trying to buy the favor of your children. That's foolish. What they really want is our time and our love. And sure, they want things. They're human beings. But, you know, it's amazing. The credit card companies will tell you that people go into indebtedness that's just unreal, buying things that are broken probably the first day or two that they're received. And I know that there are good things that are given that there are wonderful blessings that come out of that. But folks, what I'm trying to say is, God help us as born-again believers to understand in our minds as well as in our spirits that it's not just things, it's not just food, it's not just, oh, we get holidays. We'd have none of this legitimately if it wasn't for thankful believers a long time ago. And to think of how old this nation is, really, that's a miracle that we're still free. And I am adamant against anyone that knocks on the door of taking our freedom. It's the land of the free, the home of the brave. God help it to ever remain that. So Thanksgiving is more than just one day a year that we eat turkey and we get a holiday. Or Christmas is more than just party time or travel time or presents and travel. Thanksgiving is all about being so thankful to God that things are as good as they are. Lord, thank you that things are as good as they are. And by faith, we believe they're getting better every day. Right? And Christmas is far more than happy holidays. They started years ago on the Xmas, conveniently leaving out the reason for it all. It's a special time. It's a sacred time when we joyfully remember that Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the Son of the living God, was born for us, lived for us, died for us, was resurrected for us, ever lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Christmas is all about saving and keeping and blessing and helping us. My, my. So it's okay to say Merry Christmas, but it's better to say Christmas is all about Jesus, salvation. And even as Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth have faith that nothing is impossible. Say with Mary. Oh, I love that verse. That's one of my life verses. When the angel spoke to Mary and she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Well, I won't get into that right now, but you can rest assured between now and Christmas I will. You know me if you've been around here. I am thankful. I am so thankful to God. And you know, God blesses givers, God blesses thankful people, and God blesses those whose hearts are turned toward God. Not perfect people. When we're born again, our spirit is made brand new, and then we're under construction from now until eternity in our minds and in our bodies. That's why you need to go to Bible school to find out how to present yourself a living sacrifice unto Him. Receiving from God is not brownie points. It's not self-righteousness, but it's a desire to be like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus in every area of our life. I'm so thankful for this season of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the fact that I know the reason, according to John 10:10, that the thief came not but for to steal and kill and destroy. His MO has not changed. His method of operation is still the same. He'll steal everything he can get his bony hands on. He will destroy. He will kill everything possible. But Jesus said, oh, I love to run to that one. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Oh, the reality of the story of this season, it's the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our wonderful Heavenly Father. It's the fact that God has not given up on you. It's the fact that God believes in you. And as I brought the message, I don't know, 3 or 4 Sundays ago, that God has faith in your faith. I'll tell you, that one insight is beginning to be a new life-changing understanding. In the reading of Job, you know, God didn't just get mad at Job and sock it to him. God had faith and told Satan, "Do what you will. I have faith in my servant Job. I believe in this man. I believe that everything you can bring against him will not destroy his faith in me." And Satan said, "He'll curse you to your face." God said, "No way, no way. I believe in my servant Job." And I'm consumed with that. That one thought, think about it. God has faith in your faith. You may not have faith in your faith, but God has faith in your faith. God has faith that you're going to make it. God has faith in your faith. You know, that changes the whole emphasis to me. It's not just have faith in God. We know we should do that. But that God has faith in my faith. Oh, my. Okay, well, I must move on. God believes in you. God has forgiven all your sins, but you must believe. You know, Brother Mark Carrillo brought out a wonderful thought of gift cards in one of his messages here recently. You know, you can give someone a lovely meal or a purchase at a department store or something of that nature. And I always secretly wondered, well, doesn't that sort of take away from merchants because, you know, something is given? But what percentage of people never use their card? Do you remember you gave us that stat? This year, it will amount to about $8 billion of unused gift cards. You know what? You got it in your pocket, or you got it in your wallet, or your purse, or it's in at home in a drawer somewhere, and you've used some of it, but not all of it. $8 billion. But you know where I'm going, and you know where he was going the night that he brought that out. We haven't even started. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of man. That gift card that God gave you called the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given a gift card that is beyond expression. And so we use a little bit of it and we think we've really done something righteous. Why not go for all of it? That's why we call it the full gospel. Get your full measure out of the full deal. Go for it. My, my. But I was reading the paper. Really, I don't read that much. But I was noticing that one of the local car dealerships who has one of the popular brands of cars. Not all brands are as popular as others, but one of the most popular brands of cars. And then others were making similar comments. But even one that has supposedly one of the best brands for reliability said that their sales were down, was it 10% or 15%? And the man said this, and other dealers agreed with him, that the negative news media is hurting the business world. You know, we've heard this thing and heard this thing, worse financial crisis since the Depression. And of course, this was the political clarion call. You know, the worst thing. And this fear thing now, some people are beginning to believe this. They're beginning to, and it has been a serious time, and we're not out of it yet. And I think some people didn't take it serious enough. But here's the problem. If you adopt, and I'm going to give you four or five insights on how to survive and overcome in this immediate time that we're going through. I mean, it's been a tremendously challenging time politically. It's been a challenging time economically. And yes, there are people that have lost jobs and downsizing and all kinds of reasons and things that have happened. But you read the newspaper, and then the terrorists are back at it again over in India at this particular time. I mean, you know, if you look through the papers, there's quite a bit of bad news that comes up. And it's, I think, old Gabriel Heater. I go back to that expression over and over again. He said, you know, a lie will be halfway around the world before the truth can get out of bed and get its shoes on. Because the news media sells news and sells papers and sells magazines with negative connotations. When there are so many wonderful things that are happening. It's not a whole bad news. There's so much good news. People helping one another. People loving one another. People providing things for one another. I mean, there's a lot of generosity even outside of Christianity. Americans, by and large, are very generous people. But how do we survive? How do we survive? You know, your mind can just become jelly. I mean, your mind can just become pulverized by the late bad news. You know, we talk about all the killings. Yet, did you know it's the city of Chicago that has more homicides than any city in the United States of America? Chicago has more homicides than, you know, we think of these terrible things that are happening all over the world. People getting killed all the time in Chicago. Boy, you better have a Bible under both arms and an armored car to ride around in. How do we survive? Folks, we're living in a world of bad news, right? I don't have to tell you that if you have any sensitivity at all. All right, how do we rise to the top? I mean, do we let this thing just beat us down, steal our victory? You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I've had a bad week, but you're still alive. I read something recently on a plane that said a person in the most pitiful condition, wherever it is in this world somewhere, would give anything to have 5 minutes of your life and then go back to wherever, just 5 minutes of your life. Boy, that's been a thought-provoking thing. Just 5 minutes. You say, well, I don't live a very exciting life. Yeah, but you're safe. And you had health to get here today. And you're blessed. And they'd love to get out of their misery for just five minutes. And we gripe and we grumble and we complain. All right, write this down. I want to give you some, I like things that I can get a grip on. How do we survive? How do we overcome? How do we stay above all the negative news that is coming down nowadays? Well, first of all, refuse to partake of the fear frenzy. Refuse to partake of the fear frenzy. You know, worry is paying interest on something that probably will never come to pass. And yet you're paying interest on that. Refuse the fear frenzy. Are there problems in the world? Yes. Are there problems among believers? Yes. I mean, there's a lot. There's negativism if you want to seek it out. But refuse to be eaten up with the fear frenzy. You read something and your stomach just tied in a knot. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my house. So many Americans die with this and so many Americans die with that. My. Refuse the fear frenzy. When you read something of that nature, you may be reading too much. I see things people are reading on airplanes. People are half nuts. And someone's always asked me, well, have you read this? Have you read that? I said, you know, I've got the best news in the whole wide world. And if it's not this or something about this, I mean, why read someone's twisted brain? Why read someone that's probably on drugs when they wrote whatever they wrote? Why read some weirdo that's hanging out in the woods somewhere or, you know, just has a strange philosophy about life? Why put your brain in that kind of a blender and just let someone else just slap you around and say, well, it challenges me. Challenges you to do what? Have faith in God? Win souls? Be on fire for God? Get involved in the things of God? I think not. Refuse the fear frenzy. Hey, I have to do this myself. I hear a lot. I read a lot. I see a lot. I'm in contact with a lot of people. And if you're not careful, the negativisms of this world will just, it will suck the life out of you. It will suck the joy of living out of your daily living. Yes, there are negatives that have to be dealt with, and there's negatives that a preacher has to deal with. And pity the church that doesn't have a pastor or a staff that's willing to deal with real issues. But you can't just stay on that borderline acid experience all the time. You got to come out and smell the roses. Enjoy life. Read the obituary. As old Georgie Jessel said, and if you're not there, have a good day. Just have a good day. Refuse to let the fear frenzy dominate your life and get a hold of that. Secondly, get a new grip on faith. Get a new grip on faith. Now, I know the Bible says have faith in God, but you know, you have to work at keeping a grip on faith. Did you ever just get a hold of something? You can't just stay tense and tight like you're trying to open something or you're working a piece of machinery. You can't just, you know, after a while, you got to relax. And what God is saying, the best source I know about to have faith in God, turn to Mark 11. I'm not going there right now, but I'm referring you there where Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Get a new grip on your faith. In other words, when you encounter a negative, mix faith into that. When you hear a negative, when you experience something, the whole world's not hungry. Some people are. Some people are hungry because they just won't do anything productive. For the most part, a man from another country, a man from the Congo, told me, he said, you know, in your nation, a poor man is a rich man in my nation. I said, explain that to me. He said, if you want food, you can find it in America. You may be walking the streets, you may have a sign, you know, what all that is. But if you're really, really hungry, you can find food. There's just too many Americans that are not going to let somebody starve. Now, if you're a con artist, well, then that's a whole different thing. But he said, a poor man in our nation is a poor man. His health is poor. His diet is poor. His existence is dangerous. But he said, in your nation, he said, there is help if you'll just seek it out and be willing to cooperate to a little bit in the, you know, receiving that help. America's a very benevolent nation. With all of our faults and failures, America's a very benevolent nation. Get a new grip on faith. You say, Pastor Nichols, I've heard you say these things so many times, but do you know it better than I do? Then I haven't been totally successful yet. The Bible said, the just shall live by his faith. I can't live by your faith, and you can't live by my faith, though we're faith encouragers. The way we live, the way we work, the way our marriages work, the way our relationships work, the way everything in our life works for a believer is by faith. It takes faith to get on a freeway. Someone said, how in the world can you get on airplanes? I just do. I used to think I sure would feel better if they had parachutes. You know, they handed out parachutes to all the, when I was a very green novice, you know, just flown two or three times. You know, I wish they'd pass out some parachutes here, you know. Well, what are you going to do about that? The plane's not designed to get you out of there up in the air. You have to go to the water to get some some survival plans there. So, someone said, well, you're calm. Do you have insurance? Yeah, I really do. Plane goes down, I go up. Very simple policy. But I don't plan on the plane going down. The just shall live by faith. You pastor in faith. You live in faith. You face a slow day in faith. You face a fast day in faith. I mean, there's days I think, how in the world can we respond spiritually and emotionally to everything correctly? You desire to do a good job. And then you take a deep breath and you count to 10. And you just say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And as a human being, realize there's some of those things that you can't do, so just don't worry about it. Do what you can do. Stretch as far as you can stretch. But you're not Spider-Man or Superman, and you're certainly not the Son of God. So do what you can do. So how do we face it? How does that car dealer face it? How could he face it? I don't know whether he's a believer or not. When one of the most accepted name brands of automobiles today is down 10 or 15% and says, how do you face that? You know, this is not the first time our nation has faced tough times. I've talked to some business people, and I know it's a very serious time, and I have said that to you. The biggest fear in Washington was that people would start a run on the banks, and if that had ever started, we would have been in serious, deep trouble. Billions of dollars have been lost out of educational funds to help young people through college. I mean, this has not been it hasn't been a light time. And someone said, who's responsible? Neither side is totally righteous or totally innocent. There's been Democrats right in the middle of it that watched it go down and profited from that. There's been Republicans right in the middle of it that profited from it and saw it go down. So, I mean, you always have that. Wherever you have human beings, you have the good, the better, the best, and sometimes not so good. I just wish that we could pin this thing where it really should be pinned, and people that have profited off of these terrible losses would be made accountable for that. We send other people to jail. You rob a 7-Eleven, you might get 20 years, especially if you had a gun. But you can steal millions or billions of dollars, and then they put you over the committee to distribute the rest of the loans. It's like sending a fox to guard the chicken house. You know, it's real sharp. But life's not fair. Give it up. Life is not fair, but God is. Always have been weird minds. Always have been people on the take. There always have been pirates of some sort. Man's not altogether. You say, well, they're a believer. I just trust them with anything. You better have two lawyers. I shudder when I see believers getting together doing business. Know who you're doing business with. The day of the handshake, honey, that's pilgrim stuff now. Just be sure you dot your I's and cross your T's. Number one, refuse the fear frenzy. Number two, get a new grip on faith. No matter what you're facing, get a new grip on faith. The just shall live by faith. Thirdly, be thankful. Be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. Be ye thankful. Be thankful that things are as good as they are. You see, Pastor Nichols, this is so basic, but that's where we miss it. We're waiting for a heavy revelation. Tell us something that no other preacher's ever preached. Well, there's no such thing. The Holy Ghost has the copyright on all of it. We all share blended thoughts that we receive, and we covet those original thoughts, but we all are blessed by reading the good kind of books sometimes and having good input into our life. But oh, let's be thankful. That's something all of us can do. If all you had for Thanksgiving was pork and beans and you're alive, rejoice. Rejoice. You say, that's extreme. Well, there's some people that might have been, and there are people that were in that situation. But rejoice, be thankful. I thank God for health to be here today. I thank God for the strength and the calling of God to be pastor of this church since 1964. Kind of an unusual kind of a person, I guess. Some people look at Joe and I, they say, what keeps you going? We live by faith. We live by faith. Be thankful. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the staff that God's given us. We have a wonderful staff, and they all have good marriages, and I'm so thankfully proud of that. Amen. You know, and it's not that something bad can't happen. I mean, human nature is human nature, but you know, we're very protected in this church. I mean, even in Fort Worth, thank God, crazy stuff that happens in Christendom, you have to get a current copy of a certain magazine to find out what's happening somewhere else. You just don't realize how blessed you are. We don't just sit around and chew the fat about all the scandals and the moral issues and the pastors that fell and the field ministers. You know, we don't just groove on that kind of thing. We spend our time singing the high praises of God and winning souls and pursuing revival and helping people. You know, if you stay busy helping people, you don't have time to get into mischief. I might have won my wings this morning. I heard a bell ring just then. Not hardly. Be thankful. Be ye thankful. I wished I had time for every one of us to stand up and say, I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that. Last Wednesday night, what a precious time. And it was a quick time. I mean, no one belabored the point. They just stood and said of certain things in their life that they were thankful for. Please write it down. Refuse the fear frenzy. Get a new grip on faith. Be thankful. Just be thankful. Well, I'm having to wait in line. Thank God there's a line to wait in. Thank God there's something at the end of that line. Over in Russia, they stand in line to get pitifully little. Communism is the great fairness game, yeah. Extremely poor and extremely rich. You got your mafia on one side riding around in their mafia cars, and you got your other people living on hardly enough to keep body and soul alive. I've talked to too many people that have gone there. Communism, it's wonderful. It equalizes all of us. Our politicians tell us we need to go there. No, we don't. Neither socialism. Go to these nations where it's so great. Go to Britain and you'll pay $8, $9 a gallon for gasoline right now. It was $11 a gallon. That gave you something to be thankful for right there. And you know, I had people not too long ago said, you know, Pastor, gas is so expensive. I just can't come to church like I used to. Have you noticed, honey, it's half of what it was a few months ago? Take advantage of it. I mean, when regular was bumping $4 a gallon, and now look at what it's selling for. You know, today is a bargain. Y'all just fill up and drive around the parking lot and just praise the Lord, you know, just pray in the Spirit. We have a lot to be thankful for. Well, don't waste, but you know what I mean. And number four, rejoice. Enjoy the journey. Rejoice. Enjoy the journey. Had a busy day and had a wedding this last week, and I hadn't had a chance to eat since early in the morning. And I thought, well, you know, we'll go to reception and we'll get some more cake and some more nuts. And no, that's good stuff. I like that. But you wind up there and you've got salmon and tenderloin and chicken. I said, I can handle this. I should live so long. So at the end of a busy day, we sat down and enjoyed salmon and tenderloin and chicken and salad and good dessert. You know, I was just thinking, you know, God gives you the little extras along the way. You know, when you serve God, you not only just have bare bones, but if you put some extra into life, it's amazing all the little extra things that God comes up with. The little extra moment of socializing, the little extra moment of a gift card, the extra moment of something very nice that all of a sudden happens. This last year, so many sweet things have happened to us this last year, just kind of surprises, just precious things. Folks, God wants you to rejoice, and the more you rejoice, the more you enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Seize the moment. Enjoy what God's given you. And I'm talking to you just like I'm talking to me. We need to stop and count our blessings. Remember the song we sang growing up? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll see just what the Lord has done. That was a song we used to sing growing up. One of those songs, maybe we need to bring it back. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. See all the things that God has done. The fifth thing that I would call your attention is just give and serve God with all your heart. You remember what I read from Billy Graham? If a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will straighten out almost every other area of his life. So be a giver. Two folks never understand each other, the givers and the non-givers. Serve God with all you've got. I've always been amused at folks that would cut the penny in half on their tithe. You know, don't want to give God too much. He might get a little careless up in heaven, you know. Don't give him a buck too much. Don't give him five too much. I mean, just don't give him too much to work with. I'll tell you, God blesses generous people. He really does. God blesses generous people. So give and serve God with all you've got. You see, the only way anything's going to work, no business is going to work unless whoever's at the head of that business gives it everything he's got. No marriage is going to work unless you're willing to give it everything you've got. Marriage is not something you sample or you piecemeal. It's commitment. It's giving it everything you've got. I finished a wedding one time and an old rancher came up and he said, "Boy, you don't tie no slip knot, do you?" And I said, "No, sir, not on purpose, I don't." Amen. When a couple looks at me and said, "Get it on, get it on, get it off quick." I said, "I think you got the wrong preacher. It's just the rest of your life. Don't sweat it. It's just the rest of your life, you know. And God's plan for you is a good plan." And Joe and I do have some experience in these things. We've been doing this a few years, not only ministry, but marriage, praise God. You know, one day this week when I was working on this message, I said, "God, I want to make a special effort between now and Sunday to just give you more, believe more, find some way to do something extra." Now, I'm not talking about for brownie points. I mean, it's all grace. You understand that. But you know, the scripture's still true. Draw nigh to God, and he doesn't back off of you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's not, you know, it's not getting brownie points. But you know, when you just say, "God, I love you with all my heart, and I seek to give you this day. I want my life to honor you today. I'm not going to see how far away I can walk from you. God, I desire to be in the center of what pleases God." That rejoices the heart of God. And so God is admonishing us to give with all of your heart. That's, you know, I look back and I just regret, I know people get old and pass away, but I think, you know, we've had people in this church that, my God, you feel like, have I really gotten started in the Christian life? I mean, there used to be a lady, she lived. Husband wouldn't let her tithe. There was a time that he did, finally. But she went out and got a job so she could bring her paycheck. No one asked her to bring her paycheck. I saw that in my father-in-law's church years ago. And then she attended this church later on after a few years. And the same thing. Nothing uncommon. She just signed over. Did I ask you to do that? Absolutely not. But that was the joy of her heart. She said, "Well, she didn't have anything left." Well, her daughter was concerned about that, but her daughter said, "I don't understand where Mama gets all her money. She gives it away." But when she passed away, she was surprised to find out Mama had more money than she thought she did. Because God has a way of making the difference. I think of Frances Vallelunga on her way to teach the bus children in Sunday school. And she hits a slick spot in the pavement and hits a big old tree and just totals her car out. And the ambulance wants to take her to the hospital. She said, "No, you don't understand. I have a Sunday school class I need to go teach." And so she comes in a little bit dazed, but she gets to church and teaches her Sunday school class. Hey, I've known some heroes. I've known people I want to just almost bow at their feet and say, "Lay your hand on me. Show me how you do it." Remember Maxine Swanner? She had one of those Impalas. They're still very popular, you know, the big four-door Impala. Man, she'd bring that Impala in, and I mean, you'd think she had a safe in the trunk of that thing. It was full of people. And that was before the seatbelt thing was a big issue. I mean, boy, heads would come out of there like clowns in a circus car. I'm telling you. I mean, she'd bring people to church. Don't have a car? I'll be there to pick you up, honey. We're going to church Sunday. We're going to church. Oh, I love heroes, don't you? Oh, I'm just going through some things. We've had 2 or 3 or 4 this past year that have gone on to be with the Lord. Never a day goes by. Never a special day. Cards there. May not be a bit, a little love offering of some kind there. We love you. Pastor, we appreciate you. Doing a great job. Man, it makes you feel like a king when little people act like big people because they are big people. Their spirit's big. Their heart is big. They give it their all. They give it their best. Serve God with all your heart. Help somebody else along the way. Be a giver, not a taker. There's givers and then there's takers. Be a giver. God is a giver. And then finally, talk about how to survive. This car dealer of a very successful car dealership, but he said this negative publicity is hurting us. All this news media, all this negativity. I can take you to certain places in Fort Worth. You think people having it hard? I know there are people that are having it, but I see people whose plates are twice anything I'd order in a cafeteria. I mean, high dollar stuff, you know. They don't get the Luann, you know. They get Ann and all Lou and all of it on top of that. And the big monster Texas pie, you know. And I mean, man, they're loaded up. They're scarfing it down. Sending the kids back up to get some more. I don't think any of you are on a soup line this morning. You know, we're blessed. I said we're blessed. We are blessed. Come on, preacher, get on to some heavy revelation. That is heavy revelation. We are blessed. And sure, there are people that are having difficulty. I'm not making light of that at all. But I'm telling you, by and large, Americans are blessed. Well, here's the final one. Let me go down the list. Refuse the fear frenzy. Get a new grip on faith. Be thankful. Rejoice. Enjoy the journey, in other words. Number 5, give and serve God with all you've got. And number 6, expect miracles every day. I saw a part of Oral Roberts. I don't know if it was behind the scenes or some special on TBN. Paul Crouch was interviewing him, and there's Oral Roberts, 90 years of age, sharp as a tack. Billy Graham's 90 years of age, sharp. And he said, "Do you have anything else to say?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I want to talk about these hard times." He said, "You know, hard times don't last." And he said, "I want to encourage people, get back on your faith. Get back on your faith. Don't just be consumed with difficulty." Yeah, there's adjustments and some belt tightening, and probably Americans need to use more wisdom in a lot of areas. I'm not talking about waste. But, I mean, he just cut to the chase and went to the heart of the matter. He's encouraging believers, get back on your faith. Hold to your faith in God. Don't become focused on failure and disaster and all of these things. Yes, they're there. But focus on God. He didn't say it, but I say it in closing. Remember 4 lepers? It was all over. Nothing to live for. You've got a bad case of leprosy and you're dying of starvation. You're outside the city of the gate. But somebody had a bright faith idea. Why sit we here until we die? Come on, let's rise and let's go. And when those pitiful specimens of humanity got some get up and go inside of them and headed toward civilization, the angels of God got real busy and prepared a party for them when they got there. And I'll tell you, when we dare to stand up in our inward man, I said, when we dare to stand up, When everyone else is sitting down and everyone else is scraping boils with pottery, when everyone else is saying, woe is me, when we dare to stand up and say, I'm going for God's best, you release a host of God's angels to go out there and throw a party for you.